Well, this morning, I think I might just go off page a little bit. Is that okay? Okay, then here we go. I guess it's okay. I was thinking about being under the weather. And last night I was watching our boys and some of our guys playing in an all-star game. And it was about 90 degrees. I'm sitting out at Pine Grove Park. And just like that, the clouds came over. The thunder started rolling and the lightning was flashing a little bit. And you could feel the cold breeze. And it felt like it dropped about 20 degrees. I remember last year that happening. In fact, last year I remember I was sweating so bad I couldn't hardly stand it. I remember going to the game over Pine Grove, same time of the year, and a storm came through and the wind whipped so much and it dropped and it went into the 60s. And I thought, only in Michigan in 5 minutes can that happen. It hailed, it rained, the temperature dropped 30 degrees. We went out and finally got the game going, and by about the fourth inning, it was about 90 degrees again. And I thought, this is crazy. And you know, isn't that just like life? 1 minute, you're so excited, you're married, you're healthy, you have a job, and the next minute, in 5 minutes, all of a sudden something happens and the doctor says, oh, I'm sorry, you've got cancer. Or in 5 minutes, your loved one says, I just don't love you anymore. Or the boss comes and says, I'm going to have to let you go, there's just no work here in Michigan. You know, in 5 minutes, it just seems to change. It's amazing. I always say this, take a picture. Take a snapshot of life. Because there are moments you just want to take a picture. They're great moments. And you know it's not going to last. It's not going to last. Take those pictures quickly. Because, hold on, life changes so quickly. And we have almost no say over our circumstances. That's why they're called circumstances. You know, I talked to someone last week, and she said to me this. She said, she was almost in tears, and she said, I don't know what's happened, but I think I've lost my joy. I said, say that again? And she said, almost in tears, I've lost my joy. I said, what do you mean you lost your joy? She says, I love the Lord, but I've lost my joy. Now, I wonder how many people who go to church that have no joy. Forget about going to church. Anybody can go to church. People who know God that have no joy. I guess I would relate it to this. It's like being married but not being happy. Whew. Let me say it again. It's like being married and not being happy. I'm doing a lot of weddings this year. I meet with couples almost every week and count pre-marriage counseling. And every time I meet with a couple, and some of you are here, you know this, my first question, it's not to get you to say, what are you doing, Pastor? Are you trying to get us to not get married? And the first question I ask them when they sit down before any sessions is, so you still want to do this? Well, yeah. You really want to spend the rest of your life with this person? Yes. And do you still want to do this? Well, yeah. And I'll go through this every single time. Even when they walk down the aisle, my first question at the wedding is, you still want to do this? Well, yeah. Well, why wouldn't I? Exactly. Well, why wouldn't you? Because there are people who are married that aren't happy. They have no joy in their life. There are people who are Christians that aren't happy. They have absolutely no joy. They don't understand this whole Christianity thing. They don't understand that joy because they're looking for happiness. And in Christianity, you may not find happiness, but you will always find joy. See, happiness, people are always saying, well, I'm not very happy. Okay, well, I don't care. Well, Pastor, don't you get, well, not really. I don't care if you're happy or sad. Really? I honestly don't. Happiness has to do with every circumstance. It depends on if it's sunny or not. I mean, I see people all the time. I see their postings. I get their emails. I get the phone calls. I see people. How you doing? Oh, I'm not doing so good. What's wrong? Oh, look at the weather outside. Really, your life is determined whether the sun is shining or it's snowing or hailing or storming. You got issues. You will never have joy, or you'll never have happiness, but you can have joy. Because happiness comes from the word happenings. And can I tell you something? Get ready. We're talking about weathering life. Get your weather balloons and your clouds because here it comes. Take a picture, folks, because in 5 years, your life's going to change. See, I've been married 25 years, 26 years now. Just finished our 26th. Oh, going on 27. And we're moving into that place. What place? Even better. Now, when I married my wife and I'm standing there, I didn't say to her, you know what? I think in 20 years, I think I'm going to pretty much be unhappy with you. Are there days that she's unhappy with me? Absolutely. But is there joy in our marriage? I would like to think there's joy in our marriage, okay? That's why she needed 3 weeks in Africa to remind her that there is joy in our marriage. And I want to tell you something. After being gone for this 3 weeks, I'm realizing there's more joy in our marriage than I realized. As I'm cleaning out the pool and I'm grocery shopping and I'm feeding the dogs and the pets and I'm watering the lawn and I'm cooking the meals and I'm doing this and running the errands, I'm realizing she does a lot. Amen, that's right. Do I miss her? Tremendously. Listen, but there's a point in people's marriages where someone comes along and they go, you know what? I just think I quit. And they quit because of the circumstances. They don't quit because of something. We make decisions. There are times in our lives when we have this relationship to God, and I meet people all the time. How's your Christianity? Well, I gave up on God. Why'd you give up on God? Well, he didn't come through for me. I prayed and he didn't answer my prayer. Circumstances came along and I expected God to fix my circumstances. And God says, you know what? It's going to rain on the just and the unjust. Storms are coming, folks. Guess what? You might get cancer. Even Lazarus, whom Jesus loved, he raised him from the dead. We are so off page here. I'm not setting that aside. This is from the Word of God. Even Lazarus, who said, hey, this is the disciple whom Jesus loved. This is a guy who he was deeply in love with. And Lazarus, who died. And when Jesus showed up, they said, where were you? Didn't you care? Look at the circumstances. And Mary and Martha were ready to cash it in on Jesus. I've met people all the time. They're ready to cash it in on Jesus. And I want to let you know something. Jesus didn't come here to necessarily change your circumstances first and foremost. He came to change your heart, to bring you joy. Because in the rain, you've got to learn a few things. And Lazarus died. And Jesus raised him up from the dead. And I don't know what's better, that Jesus raised him from the dead or that he would have just left him alone so he could have stayed dancing in heaven. But no, Lazarus had to come back to earth. And I thought about this, and I don't know if you've ever taken this story to its full extent. Lazarus is now back on planet earth. Here's my question. What killed Lazarus? Was it cancer? Was it a tragic accident? Was it typhoid? What killed Lazarus? Did he suffer? Was he wheezing? Did he have pain? Did he lie in a bed thinking, please God, just take me now? He dies and he's buried. 3 days later, he's back and he's thinking, I've got to go through this all over again in 10 or 20 years. So you tell me what was better, changing our circumstances or changing our hearts. See, I'd rather have my heart changed than my circumstances. I know in your bulletin it talks about Job. I tried to think, what's the best story we could share? And I thought about Job. Here's Job just loving up on God. God even says, there's no one like Job in all the land. And the Bible says while he was standing there and he's talking, a servant came and said, I got to tell you something. Something tragic's happened. What happened? Our enemies came and they stole everything. Your entire business is bankrupt. If you've ever gone bankrupt, you understand his. If you've ever been fired, if you've ever lost your finances, you understand Job's heart. In one moment, a servant, the head of all of his business, his accountant, his CPA shows up, and he comes up and says, I just got to tell you, you have been wiped out. Your books are zero. Every cattle and sheep, everything you've owned is gone. While he's sitting there thinking about this, another servant comes running up. He says, I've got some bad news. Your car, your Lamborghini, has just been stolen. And they got your Pinto, too. It says that all of his camels have been swiped. All of his transportation and his workforce is now gone. And they put all your drivers to death. And while he's sitting there processing, I just lost my business. I've just lost all these other assets in my transportation. Another servant walks up within a few minutes and says, I've got some really bad news. I don't even want to tell you. Hey, and you could see the other guys going, hey, not now. This is not the good time to do this. He goes, oh, he needs to hear this. The other's like, no, seriously. You don't want to talk to him. He says, no, you got to understand. A giant storm came up, and it wiped out Your kids were having dinner together, all seven of them, and they're all dead. I don't know what you've been through in your life, but I'm thinking that circumstance is enough to turn and curse God. In fact, his wife looks at him and says to him, "Why don't you curse God and just get it over with and die?" Now, there's some great advice, husbands. When things are going bad, that your wife is not by your side, she just kind of turns and says, "This is your fault." And I tell you, we live in a world that we blame ourselves. God must hate me. I want to tell you this morning, God doesn't hate any of you. God does not hate you. I don't know why people even get that in their mind. God, when it rains, I remember I used to tell my kids, my boys, when it was raining, I said, "You know why it's raining?" They go, "No, Daddy, why is it raining?" I said, "Because God's crying." "Really?" I said, "You know why God's crying?" "No, because you made him." "Yeah, aren't you glad you're not born in our house?" And the kids go, "What? I didn't make God cry." But you know what? There are people who think that. There are people who think that it's raining, my life is getting rained on, I'm getting stormed on, things are falling apart, and I did it. I want you to know something. God has done things in other ways to love us. The Bible says it is God's goodness that leads us to repentance. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, while we were still sinners, God showed his mercy and Christ died for us while we were still his enemies. This morning, my heart is broken because I think there's a lot of people that have lost their joy. This gal that shared this with me is a good friend of mine. And when she told me she had lost her joy, I said, "Do you still love the Lord?" She goes, "Yeah, I still love the Lord." I said, "How do you love the Lord and be in that relationship and not have joy?" And I started thinking about marriages. Then I started thinking about homes. Then I started thinking about jobs. And I thought, oh, and then I started thinking about Job. And you know what Job's response was? He had three responses. And so here it is. I'm going to give you ways to have joy in your life this morning. The first one was this. The first one is this. Don't let your misery become your ministry. There are people who love misery. And they say misery loves company. There are people who, honestly, I don't know why, they thrive on misery. I'm about Facebooked out. It's like the big epidemic, you know, Facebook. Everybody's on Facebook. I'm so Facebooked out. I'm so tired of Facebook. I mean, I see everybody's life and their hearts, just their guts out on Facebook. Really. I mean, people put stuff out there. Every relationship, every problem, everything. And I look at that and I think, you know what? I just want to bring joy to the world. I just want to find ways to let joy. Do I have unhappiness? Of course I have unhappiness. When it rains, when I'm trying to play ball, if I want to go swimming and the pool is green because my wife has gone to Africa, and I don't even know how to change the filter. I know how to change the filter. I just call my boys outside and have them do it. So they don't make God cry and it rains on us. Don't let your misery become your ministry. Oh, woe is me. Well, I guess God just gave me this in my ministry. No, he did not. God did not give you that to be your ministry. The joy of the Lord is my strength, not the misery of the Lord. You see, can you find joy in this? Yes. Am I happy? No. I might be weeping on the outside, but I still have joy on the inside. You know what's amazing to me? That God would actually say to us through Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Here's what Moses said. This blows my mind. If you've ever wondered why God calls us sheep, it's because... And please don't take offense at this. This is a mirror right now, so I'll turn around and say this. God calls us, Jesus calls us sheep because sheep are stupid. He does. We raise sheep. They're dumb. Because here's what Moses said. God speaking through Moses says to the people, "I have set before you blessings and cursings. Now choose blessings." And I wrote in my Bible, "Really? Question mark." God says, "I've set before you blessings and cursings." This is the literal translations. The very next thing says, "Now, comma, choose blessings." God actually had to tell us that? As if we're going to go, "Oh, blessings. Blessings. I can have blessings. Oh, I could have cursings." And he had to tell us, "Choose blessings." As if that were going to be a problem. But there are people who choose cursings. And I'm thinking, and then it says, so that you and your children may have life. But we choose cursings. I mean, we raise sheep. They are dumb animals. For 2 years, and my dad finally, after in shearing sheep and feeding sheep and training sheep and doing the sheep thing, and for 2 years on the farm, I got to do sheep. I was up to here in wool, literally. I mean, picking out the ticks because we shaved them and we packed it and we did that, and there's everything you. And these animals are so dumb. I remember he said, get the bell sheep. And so you're looking for the sheep you can train, trying to train the sheep, and you're feeding it, and you're feeding it, and you're feeding it. And here's the trough, feeding it. Meh, come here, and you're grabbing it and feed. Oh, yeah, yeah, food, 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 food. Blessings. Go out the next day, find that sheep. Meh, come on, let's go. It's dinner time. Bucket. Doom, doom, doom. Come on. Nope, got to go out, get him, bring him in. Dinner. Pour it in there, blessing. Same time, day after day after day after day after day after day after day. You know what? That sheep is so dumb, I could pour the food in there, not go get them. About a week later, I could go out there. That's full, and I go out there, and that sheep would be laying down there half dead. What's wrong with you? Couldn't find any food. Couldn't find any food. It's in the same place at the same time. Always. And I'm here to feed you. And I thought about that, and I thought, isn't that just like us? God's feeding us. God's blessing us. God's feeding us. God's blessing. There it is in the body of Christ. And then what do? It's there every week. And, oh, I'm not going back to church. I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm not going to pray. We end up out there, and then we're laying there half-starved. And someone says, what's wrong with you? Well, God's just not there. Blessings and cursings. Oh, it's a tough one. Under the umbrella and the anointing and the joy and the peace and the salvation and the deliverance and the healing of God. Under the cursings, outside the umbrella, under the circumstances of the world. I just don't know what to do. Choose life! Choose it! We actually have to make that. That's really a choice? As if we're sitting around. Can I say, don't let your misery become your ministry. The other thing I thought about yesterday when it was going to rain and my boys are playing softball and I'm out there, I thought, keep playing, boys. I don't care if it rains. How many times do I get to go out there? And I was talking to a father and he says, man, I haven't seen your boys since they were this big running around Hillside Church. He says, I haven't seen your boys in years. And now they're just like this. I said, this year I got to play ball with all three of my boys. I said, take a picture. Those days aren't going to last. And I took a picture because here it is. I've learned this secret. Not only will I not let my misery become my ministry, I'll let the joy of the Lord be my strength, but I've learned this. I've learned to sing in the rain. Oh, yeah, I love that movie. I just saw it the other day, and my kids went, what's this? I said, this is Singing in the Rain. And they sat down, and they watched it. And here's that guy out there, dun, da, dun, dun, dun. And he gets out there, and as the music gets going, he's just out there, and he's just splashing. And a cop walks by and looks at him, and like, you're some kind of crazy. You don't dance and sing in the rain. And I say, sing in the rain. Sing in the rain. Job said it. He said, though he slay me, yet shall I praise his name. Naked I came into the world, I'm leaving naked. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be his name. That's what Job said in the midst of all that. He learned how to sing in the rain. And I'll tell you what, I want to learn how to sing in the rain, because when Jesus said, I know the devil came to kill, I know the devil came to steal, and I know the devil came to destroy. And trust me, I have seen all three of those things in my short life as a Christian. And Job said, as surely as sparks fly from the fire, the longer you live, the more misery you will see. I buried my niece at 10 months. I buried her mother 3 years ago, my sister. And as a pastor, there's no more pain than doing those things. And I think about that misery. It is not my ministry. I don't dwell on that. You know what I dwell on? I dwell on the joy of the Lord. I sing in the rain. Because the night before my sister went to be with the Lord, she had been wandering in her life, and my mom says, your sister's not wandering anymore. I said, what's going on with her? Oh, she got back to Jesus. I said, get out of here. Tammy's back with Jesus. Oh, Tammy's back with Jesus. I said, my wild partying sister, whose first husband had 22 DUIs, she had a few herself. Her third husband, who was no longer with her, and now her fourth husband that she was with, I said, you're telling me Tammy got back with Jesus? Oh, yeah. So we're going up to my aunt's funeral viewing, and I jump in the car with her to go see. We're all back for that funeral. As we get in, she's playing this Christian music. It's Maranatha. Some of you might remember Maranatha. You know, as the deer panteth for, probably my number one most hated praise song. It has nothing to do with me, I know, but I sang that song one time in Jamaica with a team, and the pastor and the worship guy did not know when to jump. And we sang as the deer panteth about 30 times. And they're looking at each other like when to quit. And after about 45 minutes of singing that song, I thought, somebody's got to stop. Either piano guy or the singer have got, I mean, as the deer, that deer is not panting. That deer is dead. That deer died about 14 times ago. You got to stop singing about the deer. He's dead. We're having some venison. Stopped. She's got it in her CD player, my most beloved song. As I said, what are you listening to? Can you change the channel? She goes, no, this is my praise CD. I thought, I wonder what happened to her. The next day, getting ready for church, sitting at breakfast, she just got a blank look in her face. My brother said, oh, knock it off. What are you doing? She slumped over, and she went to be with Jesus. The Bible says, sorrow may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I have not lost my joy. I have sorrow. We all have sorrow, but my sorrow will not determine my joy. It will not take away from me. I know my sister danced in the streets of gold. She got to see her beloved Kayla, her little girl that 20 years before went to be with the Lord. She is reunited with my uncle who led about 40 of us to Jesus. He went to be with the Lord from cancer, my dad's youngest brother. He got to see my aunt who went to be with the Lord when she was 18. I believe in heaven right now. She is so thrilled and so happy. You see, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Not the circumstances of my life on planet Earth. You see, it might rain and it might shine, but I will know this, no matter what the weather is, the sun will always shine. Let me say that again. I don't care what's going on with the stock market, the sun will always shine. I don't care what's happening in Texas, if it's 105, the sun will always shine. I don't care what's happening in your marriage, the sun will always shine. I don't care what's going on in Africa right now and what's happening in those kind of things. I don't care what the doctor says because the sun will always shine. You see, when you have that, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And you don't have to worry about those things. I've learned how to sing in the rain. And people look and go, you're some kind of crazy. I said, I'm not some kind of crazy. Faith is the evidence of things unseen. You see, you're looking at the weather forecast, and I'm looking at the one who forecasts the weather. You're looking at what happens in the sky, and I'm looking at the one who makes sure that sky is there. You're looking at the one who's trying to prognosticate what the 10% chance is tomorrow, and I'm looking at the one who set the stars in its place night after night. You see, there's a difference between us, and the difference is this. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I know that everything I've given to him, he will keep until that day. I know Romans 8:28 that says, all things work together for the good, for them that love the Lord and are called according to him in Christ Jesus. I've got two choices today. I can live under the weather, or I can get away from that and get above the weather. And I don't live under the weather. You see, I'm going to get above my circumstances. Let me close it this way. I love to fly. Well, the first times I flew, I was scared to death. And on top of that, there was a massive storm. See, it doesn't help when you're afraid of heights, and then you're going to go up in an airplane in a cylinder that looks like a giant cigar, which blows my mind. And they go through that whole, hey, if we have an emergency, there's a little thing that's going to come out so you can, you know, breathe. And you've got a seatbelt. And I'm thinking, we're going 650 miles an hour at 30,000 feet. And if we're going down, I really don't want to have a seatbelt on. What is that? Make sure you're still attached when this thing explodes. We don't want you going anywhere. I'm thinking, no, I'm going to unattach this thing and jump at the last second. Because either way, I'm toast. And we're in there, and they're going through their things, and I'm scared to death. And I mean the lightning and the storm. And they said, don't worry, folks. We're going to get above it pretty quick here. And sure enough, I mean, it's black, it's dark, it's ugly, it's stormy. And we go up through those clouds and we get up and we start rising above those clouds. And are you ready? I wasn't ready for this. I'd never flown like that. We got up above it and the white, fluffy clouds looked like little snow banks. And the sky was as blue as it could have been. And I thought, that's the way I want to live my life. Jesus calls us in John 10:10. He says, the devil came to kill. He's killed a lot of people I know. He's killed a lot of marriage. He's come to steal. He's stolen a lot of joy. And he's come to destroy. And he's destroyed families. But I've come that you might have life. Do you know that word life? He goes on to say abundant. That word abundant is perosis. I have drawn in my Bible. It has nothing to do with the word. But a submarine periscope is drawn in my Bible. So when my kids, when I'm long gone and my grandkids get my Bible, they're going to read John 10:10 and they're going to look over and see a periscope. And they're going to go, Grandpa was kind of crazy, wasn't he? And the kids are going, oh, you have no idea. Grandpa was a little touched. And I'm okay with that. But when they see that periscope, they're also going to look at a little explanation that's written in my Bible and says, the word perosis means to be above and beyond life. When Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, abundant life, he says that you might have life above and beyond. You see, when someone's in a submarine, they can't see what's going on. So they raise the periscope. It gives them a better view. See, when I was in that airplane, I couldn't see what was above and beyond until we got above and beyond it. You see, in my life circumstances, I can't see what God's doing in the cancer. I can't see what God's doing in my job. I can't see what God's doing in my relationship. But I know this, Jesus can, and he can get me above and beyond it. I want to live my life above and beyond the weather. That's where we're at today. My encouragement to you is learn to sing in the rain. You learn to sing in the rain. People might not think you're so crazy because that show still plays. And it puts a smile on everyone's face when you see, I believe it's Fred Astaire. Is it Gene Kelly? I knew I'd say the wrong name. Gene Kelly, when he's out there doing his dance number and he's splashing like a 5-year-old boy in a water puddle. And the cop walks by and just kind of shakes his head. He takes his umbrella. And now that he's soaking wet, he actually puts it up and he walks away. And the cop says, there goes some kind of crazy. And I want you to know something. People might look at your life and say, there goes some kind of crazy. But you know how to dance and sing in the rain. And that's what God calls us to. Don't lose your joy, people. It's what we have. It's what Jesus gives. It's our strength. Let's stand and pray.